sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
And so I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave me.
Thank you. So they sent a message to Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the gods of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Forgive our sins, O Lord, lest they then say, "Where is their God?" Help us, O God of our salvation, and for the glory of thy name deliver us.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation,
Giver Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, the 6th chapter of St. Luke, the 36th verse, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." I often think that some of the most consoling passages in all of Holy Scripture can be found in the Book of Psalms. I think, for example, of these words in Psalm 145. "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." His tender mercies are over all his works. And then there is that marvelous passage in Psalm 103. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." Now, as Christians, we believe that everything written in Holy Scripture, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, finally points to Christ. And we never rightly understand anything in Scripture until we see how it is related to Christ. The Book of Psalms was the prayer book of God's ancient people, Israel. Therefore also, the Book of Psalms was the prayer book of Jesus. He would have heard the Psalms in the humble home of Mary and Joseph, in the synagogue worship, and in the temple. And it was passages from the Book of Psalms which came to his lips as he suffered and died on the cross. From Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? From Psalm 69, I thirst. From Psalm 31, into thy hands I commend my spirit. In fact, understood in a Christian sense, the whole Book of Psalms is in fact a portrait of Christ, of the one who without ceasing praises the Father, of the one who walks in complete conformity to the Father's will, of the one who suffers the hatred and hostility of those who hate the Father, of the one who triumphs over all his enemies. For in Jesus we see the Psalms come to life, not least in those marvelous passages which speak of the tender mercy of the Father. Jesus is God's tender mercy in the flesh. In the Gospel for this day, Jesus says, "Be merciful even as your Father is merciful," and goes on to say, A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Jesus is God's tender mercy in flesh and blood. Jesus is the exact image and likeness of the Father whose tender mercies are over all his works. And if we are to be disciples, students, followers of Jesus, our lives too must be marked by that same kind of tender mercy. Now, nobody needs to be told that we live in a world today where tender mercy and compassion are in very short supply. The history of the fallen human race is so much a history of the failure of mercy and compassion. Even we Christians find that tender mercy and compassion in short supply, not least when we sit in harsh judgment of other frail human beings just like ourselves. How easy it is to see that speck in another's eye by failing to see the log that is in our own. I think that one of the great Christian laymen of the last century was Gilbert Keith Chesterton. We usually refer to him as G.K. Chesterton. Chesterton had a remarkable talent, not only for setting forth the truth of the Christian faith, but also for demolishing specious arguments against it. And I have to say that I almost never find myself disagreeing with Chesterton. But I do disagree with something he has to say toward the end of his book, Orthodoxy, a book in which he sets forth with such conviction and imagination in life, that astonishing truth that God himself once lived on this planet in an out-of-the-way province of the Roman Empire. Well, this is what I have my problems with. Chesterton goes on to say of Jesus, who is God in the flesh, these are Chesterton's words, "There was something he covered constantly by abrupt silence or by isolation. There was some one thing that was too great for God to show us when he walked upon the earth. And I have sometimes fancied that it was his mirth, God's mirth." Contrary to Chesterton, I believe that we do in fact see God's mirth in the life and the words of our Lord. Just think for a moment of the comparison he presents in today's gospel to make the point that we frail human beings have no business judging the motives and the hearts of other frail human beings. Isn't there something funny in the comparison? Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself don't see the log that is in your own eye? If you picture that, I submit that it is really rather funny. And then just one other example. This was the time when Jesus asked the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well to call her husband. And you remember what the woman said. She said, I have no husband. And Jesus replied, this you said truly. You have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. And I like to think that our blessed Lord said that with a twinkle in his eye. We say of the eternal Son of God that he is the one through whom all things were made. He is creator with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And I submit that even a cursory look at creation shows something of the mirth of God. In all the astonishing creatures that God has made, more than we can imagine. God delights in his creation. He delights in you and in me enough to go to the cross for us, that his mercy might be ours forever. So with all due respect to G.K. Chesterton, I submit that in Jesus, God's mirth was visible. As our vicar reminded us last Sunday, our God is the God of joy and of mercy. And so we give him thanks now and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And now let us stand and pray for the church and for the world. O Lord our God, holy and infinite, you caused the light to shine out of darkness. You have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Accept, we humbly pray, our sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, and mercifully hear our requests. Help us to be children of light and heirs of your everlasting glory. O Lord, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, remember your whole Christian church on earth, all who join with us in prayer, all our brethren on land or sea, all our fellow creatures throughout the earth who may be in need of your gracious help, especially all those for whom our prayers are desired and all persecuted Christians. Pour out upon them and upon us all the riches of your mercy, that our souls and bodies, being delivered from the bondage of sin, we may serve you with steadfast faith all our days, and praise your holy name forevermore. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise that you have given us this good land for our heritage. And we humbly pray that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of your favor and glad to do your will. Bless our land with honorable industry, sound learning, and pure manners. Save us from violence, discord, and confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every evil way. Defend our liberties, and fashion into one united people the multitudes brought hither out of many kindreds and tongues. And do with the spirit of wisdom those to whom in your name we entrust the authority of government, that there may be justice and peace at home, and that through obedience to your law we may show forth your praise among the nations of the earth. In the time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness, and in the day of trouble, suffer not our trust in you to fail. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayer. Grant these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. And now we will remain standing, and we will dedicate the figure of the crucified Savior, which has been given in memory of my parents.
Our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit.